Michael wants to know, why is green energy typically more expensive for the consumer? Indeed, is it? Is that true?
So traditionally it has been, right? Which is why we have this climate problem in the first place. Burning fossil fuels was cheap, available, largely because nobody paid for the pollution. Nobody paid for the fact that we are dumping gazillions of tons of CO2 into the atmosphere. We should pay for that. But even without paying for it, by now, solar PV is the cheapest form of electricity in history. Costs have come down so quickly. 40 years ago, it was about 100 times as expensive as today. 10 years ago, it was about 10 times as expensive as it is today. And yes, by now, in sunny locations, of course, right? Don't put your solar panel on the north side of the roof if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, sure. Assuming it's sunny, solar PV is cheaper than any other way of generating electricity. And to be clear, that's a big deal. And that information comes from the International Energy Association, which is nobody's idea of an environmental group.
The install costs are very high, aren't they? I was looking at this yesterday, and the payback period for a domestic system might be 25 years in some cases, especially in a less sunny place like the UK.
So, of course, you are sitting in the UK, which, I'm sad to say, is not one of the sunniest places. No, that's okay. But sometimes there's an advantage of being, in southern latitudes. So even here in New York, right, which isn't all that far south, to be clear, the payback period is a lot shorter. And yes, right, of course, it depends on, having a sunny location. But the key thing here is, yes, there's upfront cost. But then as soon as you have the panel, you're basically, printing money for free. You're printing electricity, right? There's no further cost other than, wiping down the panel every once in a while. So that's the big difference here, right? You're not paying for the fuel through.
But can I pick you up on that, Gernot? Because a few years back in your wonderful country, there was this initiative to produce biofuels because everyone said we need to make sure that we don't emit more new carbon into the atmosphere. So we'll make fuel from the atmosphere. We'll grow plants. The problem is that lots of good agricultural land was then used to grow plants, with the result that then you had to ship in food from places with a higher carbon footprint than had you just grown the things at home. We're also in danger of turning over quite a lot of agricultural land, especially in some countries, which is at a premium, to turn it into a solar farm. So on the one hand, you're incentivizing people to produce cheap green electricity, but then the carbon cost of shipping in your food because you're not growing it on that land from elsewhere could be much higher. So one has to be very careful about these sorts of carbon equations.
Absolutely, right? And, in some sense, that's the bread and butter of what economists do, right? Figuring out those trade-offs. You can go back to philosopher Mick Jagger on this one. You can't always get what you want. So yes, there are trade-offs. Clear. And yes, right. So don't get me started on subsidies for biofuels in the US, right? Why do we do that? Because the presidential primary starts in Iowa and there's a lot of corn in Iowa. And that's why we'll never get rid of those often misguided subsidies. There's lots of politics here, of course. That said, yes, there's plenty of marginal lands where we are not growing food, where very little else happens. And yes, where a solar farm would make sense.
Well said.